Okay, so when I was first asked about the topic for the shiur for 4 weeks in a row, I was thinking if I would have enough material to do 4 weeks in a row on Sfiras HaOmer. I think we do. Tonight is going to be the third shiur in the Lamdus of Sfiras HaOmer. Next week I plan on doing just a collection of interesting shilos that come up. That have come up relating to Sfiras HaOmer, but tonight is going to be the last classic, I guess, Iyun type of shiur on Sfiras HaOmer, and this is going to be a little bit different than the first two in the following way. When I was in Yeshiva University, I had one primary rebbe who I learned by most of the time, Rav Herschel Schachter, and another rebbe who I also learned by some time. I learned Hilchos Nida by Rav Mordechai Willig. And the two of them are both brilliant Talmidei Chacham. They both think in a very clear and methodical way, but their styles of presenting shiurim are almost opposites of each other. And what I mean by that is that when Rav Schachter presents a sugya, he begins with the Gemara, or often the Pasuk. I remember many times in shiur, he would stop in the middle and say, wait a second, where are we? Bereishis bara Elokim es haShemayim ves haaretz. We have to start with the beginning. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. Good. Then there's a Pasuk in Parshas, whatever. And then you just take us through the Gemara, to the Rishonim, to the Psak Halacha, and he would take us through the sugya from beginning to end. Rabbi Willig had the opposite approach. Rabbi Willig would start with, okay, it says in the Mishnah Berurah that you're supposed to do this. Now, why would the Mishnah Berurah say that? And he'd start working his way backwards, all the way back to the Gemara, to figure out how we got to the conclusion that we got to. So 99% of the time when I give a shiur, I go with the Rav Schachter model of starting with the Gemara and working our way down. Tonight, I'm going to try to go with the Rabbi Willig model, which frankly has often confused me. It's not easy for me to do it, but I think in this case, it might be the best way to present this topic. What I want to do is I want to start with a halacha that we all know, a halacha, one of the more basic halachos of Sfiras HaOmer, and work our way backwards and suggest three different approaches as to why the halacha is what it is. Meaning there's clearly a rishon that the halacha is based on, three different approaches to understanding this rishon. The halacha that I'm talking about is what happens when a person forgets a night of Sfiras HaOmer. So this is a halacha that's well known. It's source number 4 in the packets for those who want to see it inside. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Tav Pei Tesiv Zayin. Shachach v'lo birich kol ha'layla. If a person did not say the bracha and did not count Sfira the one night for the entire night, so what should he do? Yisper b'yom below bracha. He should count during the day, but not say a bracha during the day. You count during the day, but without a bracha, and then you continue on subsequent nights. What if the person forgot during the day also? He not only forgot at night, he forgot during the day. If you look in source number 6, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in the very next si'if in Shulchan Aruch, im shachach levarich be'echad mehayamim, if a person forgot to say the bracha and to count Sfira on one of the days, bein yom rishon, bein mishar yamim, whichever day of Sfira it is, sofer b'shar yamim below bracha. He continues to count on the other nights, but he can no longer say a bracha for the duration of the period of Sfiras HaOmer. Avalim humusupak, Shulchan Aruch then gets into situations of suffik. But if you miss an entire 24-hour period, you can continue to count. You should continue to count, but it cannot be with a bracha. A lot of times people have the wrong attitude. If they miss a day entirely, they say, "Oh, I'm out of it. I can't do it. I lost it. I'm done with the mitzvah." According to most Rishonim, that is in fact not true. According to most Rishonim, if you miss a night of Sfira, you still have a mitzvah to count the next night and the night after. We can't say a bracha, and we'll discuss why in a moment, but there's still a mitzvah to do of Sfiras HaOmer. So to just say, and Rav Soloveitchik used to point out, that you see from here the power of a Birchas HaMitzvah, just how significant a Birchas HaMitzvah is. That any time we remove a Birchas HaMitzvah, we find ultimately the mitzvah falls into disuse. Meaning you have, like, for example, over here, Sfiras HaOmer. As soon as you lose the opportunity to say the bracha, so people give up entirely and they stop counting. You find it by sitting in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The Gemara says that the halacha is that Yisuvi Yisvinan Bruchei Lo Mevarchinan, that you sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz, but you don't say a bracha. So what happened? Once the Gemara passed and you don't say a bracha, significant communities in Klal Yisrael just entirely gave up on the mitzvah of sitting in Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. Now that's a different topic and it's a much larger shir. I don't want to get into that now. We could probably debate that for a while. So I don't want to get into that now. But the idea of the importance of a Birch HaMitzvah is pretty significant. That when we lose the bracha, all of a sudden we throw away the mitzvah. And that's not the proper attitude. It just tells us a little bit about the value of a Birch HaMitzvah. So this is the halacha. We forget Sfira at night, count during the day without a bracha. You forget night and day, continue to count on the other days without a bracha. But you cannot continue to count on the other days with a bracha. What if I forget to count Sfira tonight, and then I count tomorrow afternoon, so tomorrow night I can count with a bracha? Right? That's the halacha. I can continue to count with a bracha. Why? Why is that the case? So there are two fundamental arguments, two fundamental machloksim in the Rishonim about Sfiras HaOmer, and specifically about forgetting Sfiras HaOmer. One machlokas in the Rishonim is, can you count Sfira during the day? If you didn't count at night, is there any mitzvah at all to count Sfira during the day? So Tosos discusses this in Maseches Menachos. This is in the first source. Tosos in the third line of that Tosos writes, Veheicha deshachach lispar belaila, if a person forgot to count at night, pasak bahag, shesofer biyom. The Bahag paskins, count during the day, no problem. You're yotzei the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer during the day. It's best to do it at night, but if you forgot to do it at night, you can still count Sfira during the day. That is the opinion of the Bahag. Rabbeinu Tam, in the very next line of that Tosos, Rabbeinu Tam is quoted, of the nearer Rabbeinu Tam Iker, Idach Stamed Masnisin, the Rabbeinu Tam holds the opposite with another indication from a Mishnah, the opposite, that you can only count during the night, and there is no mitzvah whatsoever of Sfiras HaOmer during the day. It's only a nighttime mitzvah. So the Bahag holds it's a mitzvah that applies 24 hours. Whenever you want to do it, you could do the mitzvah. Presumably, from this Tosos, it seems the Bahag would hold that if I don't count tonight, I can count tomorrow with a bracha, because he's saying that's the zman of the mitzvah of Sfira. The mitzvah of Sfira is all day, so I can count it tomorrow also with a bracha. Rabbeinu Tam would say, I can't even count tomorrow without a bracha. Nothing, it's worthless, it's useless. There's no mitzvah during the day. The whole mitzvah is only at night. So neither of them are saying what we actually do. The Bahag is saying that we should count tomorrow with a bracha during the day. The Rabbeinu Tam is saying, don't count at all during the day. It's worthless to count during the day. There's simply no mitzvah to count during the day. That is one machlokas in the Rishonim. The other machlokas in the Rishonim also involves the Bahag. The Bahag is quoted at the end of that same Tosfos in source number one. He writes in the last line and a half of that Tosfos, Od pasak ba'alachos gedolos, shim hifzik yom echad velo safar. Let's say a person misses an entire day of Sfira. Not only the night, he didn't count at night or at day. Again, the Bahag said he's allowed to count during the day, but he didn't. The guy forgot. He forgot night and day. So now what does he do? Shuv eino sofer. The Bahag says, you lost it. You're out. You can't count Sfira anymore. The attitude that I mentioned before that many people erroneously have was in fact the psak of the Bahag. Now, we don't paskin straight like the Bahag, but if you follow the Bahag to the letter, you would say that if I forget counting Sfira tonight, tomorrow during the day I should count with a bracha. If I forget then also, then I don't count for the rest of Sfira. Then I'm out of it for the rest of Sfira. Who argues on this Bahag? The Tur in Siman Tav Pei Tes, in source number 3, in the second line, quotes from Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon says, no, if you miss a night and a day of Sfira, you can continue to count with a bracha on the other nights. Just parenthetically, you'll notice the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch and the lashon of many of the Rishonim, instead of talking about sofer b'shara leilos, that you should count on the other nights, they talk about yivarech b'shara leilos. They talk about the mitzvah as if the whole mitzvah is a bracha. There are Rishonim that actually have that, unlike we do, where we say a bracha, and then we do the Sfira, and they're two clearly separate texts. You have the text of a bracha, which is a normal Birchus HaMitzvah with Asher Kiddushanu M'Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, and Al Sfira Sa'omer, very clear normal text of a bracha, followed by the mitzvah like you would have by tefillin, where you say a bracha, you put on tefillin, matzah, you say a bracha, you eat the matzah. There are many Rishonim that had a text that the Svira was included as part of the Nusach HaBracha. That they would say, Asher Kishon B'Mitzvos V'Svanu, Lispar Yom Rishon Ba'Omer, or something like that. They would have included in the text of the Bracha. So it's not that surprising that the word Yivarech is used in place of the concept of Svira. But putting that aside, assuming that we do what we do, we say a Bracha and then we count, we have these two fundamental arguments in the Rishonim about forgetting at night, should you count during the day? And if you miss an entire day, should you continue to count on the rest of the days? So how do we get from there to what we do? Meaning again, if I forget to count tonight, the Bahag will tell me count tomorrow during the day with a bracha. Rabbeinu Tam will tell me it's a waste of time to count tomorrow. Now, if I forget tonight and tomorrow, the Bahag will tell me it's a waste of time to count the rest of the nights. And Rav Haigon will tell me count the rest of the nights with a bracha. So how do we do something that's like neither opinion? I'm going to count, if I forget tonight, I'm going to count tomorrow without a bracha, neither like the Bahag nor the Rabbeinu Tam. And if I forget tonight and tomorrow, I'm going to continue to count the other nights without a bracha. Again, neither like the Bahag nor like Rav Haigon. How do we get from point A to point B? So the simplest approach is the approach of the Mishnah Berurah. When I say simplest, I don't mean it's the simplest to understand, but it's in a certain way it uses the most natural halachic logic to it. The most natural halachic logic is that when you have a machlokas and rishonim, so who are we to paskin? Sometimes we know how to paskin. If you have the Rambam and the Rith and the Rush and the Rashba and all the big guns say one way, and then you find a Tosfos Chachme, whatever, that holds some other way. You find a Das Yachid, you find a single Shita somewhere that holds otherwise. So we know what we're going to paskin. We're always going to paskin like the major Rishonim. So normally, when you have a Machlokes Rishonim, we paskin, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come to conclusions. We're supposed to paskin. But every once in a while, we're presented with a machlokas, which is a pretty even machlokas, and we're not really sure how to paskin. So what do we do when we don't know how to paskin? We say, okay, this is what we call a safek. We're not sure. It's a safek. If it's a pretty even machlokas, so we say safek. What's the halacha when you have a situation of safek? So generally speaking, the rule is pretty straightforward. Safek d'oraisa l'chumra, safek d'rabbanan l'kula. That if it's a din d'oraisa, we try to be machmir. If it's a din d'rabbanan, we try to be lenient. But even if it's a din d'rabbanan, if it's really easy to be machmir, so we're machmir even on a safek d'rabbanan. Svira is pretty easy to do. It's not one of the more challenging mitzvahs. Challenging to remember sometimes, if you don't daven with a minyan every night, it can be challenging to remember, but it's not a challenging mitzvah to do. It's saying a couple of words. It doesn't take much out of you. So a suffix Sfira Sa'omer will certainly be Machmir. Might as well count Sfira Sa'omer, even though Sfira Bizman Azeh is only Drabbanan. But will be Machmir and will count the Sfira Sa'omer. But should I say a bracha on that? The halacha is suffix brachos lahakel. Whenever I have a suffix, whether I say a bracha, I'm always mekel. So the way the Mishnah Berurah explains it is very simply. We're not sure how to paskin in either of these machlokasim, in either of these disputes. So if I forget to count Sfira Sa'omer tonight, what should I do tomorrow? Well, the Bahag will tell me, what do you mean what should you do tomorrow? Count tomorrow with the bracha. Rabbi Natan will tell me, no, don't count at all. It's a waste of time. That to me is a suffix. So what should I do? I'll count. I'll be machmir mi suffix, but I'll count without a bracha. Why will I count without a bracha? Because suffix bracha is lahakel. Very elegant, very straightforward, very clear psak halacha. Now, what happens if I forget to count entirely tomorrow? I forget tonight and tomorrow. So the Bahag would tell me, you forgot to count a night, so that's it, you're out, you can't count any further. And the Rav Haigon would tell me, yes you can, these are 49 separate mitzvos, they have nothing to do with each other, you missed one night, that's fine, you can continue to count the other nights. So what would I do if I missed a day entirely? So again, suffek, I'm not sure, so I count, but I count without a bracha. What if I didn't count tonight, but I counted tomorrow morning? What do I do tomorrow night? So now I count with a bracha. How do we get to that? How do we get to counting with a bracha? So the Mishnah Berurah says we employ a mechanism called svek sveka. That whenever you have a double doubt, you follow the double doubt. You follow the majority, the majority of possibilities. Meaning, if I didn't count tonight, but I counted tomorrow, I counted during the day tomorrow. According to the Bahag, I was yotzei my mitzvah of svira tomorrow. So even though the Bahag says if I miss a day, I can't continue to count. But according to the Bahag, I didn't miss a day because counting during the day works. So when I counted tomorrow, it worked. I was Yotzei the Mitzvah when I counted tomorrow. So that would work according to the Bahag. And even if you say you don't want to paskin like the Bahag, that counting during the day is meaningful, even if you want to say that counting during the day is worthless, you want to say, like the opinion of Rabbi Natan, that counting during the day is worthless, but there's always the possibility that we hold like Rav Haigon, that the mitzvos are 49 independent mitzvos, and if you miss a day, you can continue to count on the other days. So it's not just one suffix now it's a double suffix. Maybe we paskin like the Bahag, and when I counted during the day, I did the mitzvah. And even if we don't paskin like the Bahag on that issue, maybe we paskin like Rav Haigon, that even if I missed the day, I can continue to count. And that, the Mishnah Berurah says, is how we arrive at our practice. It's how we arrive at doing what we do. Because we have this significant machlokas, is it 49 separate mitzvos that are totally independent of each other, or is it one long mitzvah, and like the Bahag says, and therefore if you miss a night, you're done, the mitzvah's over, you can't do anything else. It's like missing a parsha of your tefillin. It's not like your yotzei the other three parshios. You're missing a critical component of the mitzvah. We have that machlokas, and we have this other machlokas, whether I can count during the day. So when all the dust settles, and you have machlokas, and you don't know how to paskin, we end up with what we have in Shulchan Aruch. There are a couple of issues. One issue with this is, assuming that there exists a possibility that Sfiras HaOmer is 49 independent mitzvos, so that makes a lot of sense that Sfiras HaOmer would be 49 independent mitzvos, because each and every night of Sfira, we say a bracha. It makes sense, if I'm doing 49 separate mitzvos, that I should say 49 separate brachas. But according to the Bahag, it's one big mitzvah. Missing a night of Sfira is like missing a parsha in my tefillin. It's like missing one of the dalet minim in my lulav. So how is it that we have 49 separate brachos on what is essentially one mitzvah? Do we make four brachos on our tefillin for the four parshios? Do we make four brachos on our lulav for the dalet minim? No, because altogether it's one mitzvah. How can you make 49 separate brachos if there's one big mitzvah that just continues for a span of 49 days? Where do we ever have such a thing? Now, you have that if I do a mitzvah repeatedly, and it's a new mitzvah each time I do it, every time I learn Torah, I wake up in the morning, I learn Torah, I say a bracha of Birchas HaTorah, because there's a new chiyuv of Talmud Torah each and every morning. My Talmud Torah today is not part of my Talmud Torah from yesterday. It's a separate mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But according to the Bahag, this is like four parshios in the tefillin. 49 parshios of Sfiras HaOmer. If you miss one, none of them are worth anything. They're all, you got zero. It's not like if I miss day 30, well, let me pick a different day. If I miss day 15, it's not like if I miss day 15, okay, I got days 1 through 14, I get days 16 through 49. No, if I miss day 15, I got nothing, according to the Bahag. So why am I making 49 separate brachos? So Rav Shechter discusses this in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, and he points out something fascinating about Birchas HaMitzvos, and he starts with the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah suggests the following idea. The Rambam writes that, typically speaking, it was understood by most Rishonim that when one recites Kiddush on Shabbos and Yantif, since there is a requirement of Kiddush B'makom Su'uda, so one sits during the mitzvah of Kiddush. Again, Chassidus Sheminog developed that people stand for whatever reason. That's not the topic of our shiur tonight. It happens to be its own fascinating topic. But typically speaking, the assumption that Rishonim work with is that a person is supposed to sit for the mitzvah of Kiddush. Good. The Rambam says there's one exception. You're in the sukkah, and you want to say Kiddush in the sukkah. So the Rambam says there's a rule by Birchos HaMitzvah that whenever you say a bracha on a mitzvah, the Gemara says in several places, in Masech HaSukkah, Masech HaPsachim, and elsewhere, kol ha-mitzvos kulan, mevarchen aleihen, over la'asiyasan. Every mitzvah, you make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. You can't do the mitzvah and then say the bracha. We make the bracha before we do the mitzvah. That's always the rule, with rare exception. Netilas Yadayim is an exception for most of us. Most of us probably wash our hands and then say the bracha of Netilas Yadayim. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim why that's okay. That's clearly an exception. Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter does not do that. He actually says the bracha before he washes his hands. I was once at a Shalashudis where he was a scholar in residence in a shul where I used to be the assistant rabbi, and one of our wonderful 11th graders from DRS was standing behind him in line to wash and noticed that Rav Shechter made the bracha before washing. So he obviously realized Rav Shechter must have not known the halacha. So he went over to him and he said, you know, Rebbe, I don't mean to, you know, be chutzpahdik, but you should know that the halacha is that really you're supposed to wash and then say the bracha. So this is before, so this is years ago. So Rav Shechter said, thank you very much. You know, just he didn't want to make the kid feel bad. But so for most of us, though, most mitzvahs, almost all mitzvahs, we always make the bracha before we do the mitzvah, not after we do the mitzvah. So the Rambam says we have a birchas mitzvah on sukkah. What's the birchas mitzvah? Leishev basukkah. So the Rambam says you're going to make that bracha at the end of kiddush. So you need to stand for the entire kiddush so that you will then sit right after the bracha. Because if you're already sitting and you say leishev basukkah, it's too late. You're already sitting in the sukkah. It's too late for the leishev basukkah. So the Raiva disagrees with this Rambam for whatever reason he has to disagree. But l'chora, the Rambam is very difficult to understand. When the Torah tells us, basukas teshvu shivas yam, that a person should teshvu in sukkahs for 7 days, what does that word teshvu mean? So if you ask a child, so they'll say, yoshev means to sit. Good, I learned that in school. I know yoshev means to sit. If I lie down in the sukkah and go to sleep, am I in fulfillment of a mitzvah? Absolutely. If I have problems sitting, I have back problems or sciatica or something, whatever, I need to walk around. So I pace around the sukkah. Am I yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah? Absolutely. Basukas teshvu, I would bet if you look, I didn't check, but I would bet if you look in the article translation or any other translation, does not say you must sit in sukkah. What does it mean? Reside, live, dwell in the sukkah. The mitzvah of sukkah is to live in the sukkah. It's not to sit in the sukkah. So how would one really want to really do the bracha over Las Yasin if you really wanted to do it over Las Yasin? Right before you step foot into the sukkah. The only thing is you can't say you have a kiddush makom suda problem. You can't say kiddush outside of the sukkah. But what's the Rambam solving? By saying kiddush standing up, how are you solving anything? You are already too late. You're already getting the mitzvah. So Rav Shechter explains, based on Yisodar of Salvatric used to talk about a lot apparently, that we're used to thinking of mitzvahs as a mitzvah, it's just a mitzvah. But in brisker thought, the mitzvah can be divided into two parts. There is the maisa mitzvah, and there is the kiyuma mitzvah. There's the action that I do to do the mitzvah, the maisa mitzvah, and then there's when I get credit for the mitzvah up in Shemayim. Up in Shemayim, they put the check up in Shemayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me a check in my box, that's the kiyuma mitzvah. Right? These are the two elements of a mitzvah. Most of the time, they're the same. I pick up a lulav, I have a maisa mitzvah, kiyuma mitzvah simultaneous. So you can't divide them, you can't divorce them from each other. I light the Hanukkah candles, it's a maisa mitzvah of lighting, the kiyuma mitzvah is right then when I light. You can't split them from each other. Every once in a while, though, you have a mitzvah where they're clearly split. The best example, probably, is the mitzvah of pru-revu. Pru-revu is a great example, because the maisa mitzvah is the mitzvah's ona, the maisa bia. The kiyuma mitzvah is actually having a child, which takes several months till the baby's born. 9 months, very often with the first baby, 9.5 months. It takes a long time till the baby finally comes out. So that's well after the maisa mitzvah. So you have a maisa mitzvah and a kiyuma mitzvah. Now there happens to be no bracha on the mitzvah of pru-revu. But let's say you have a mitzvah where the maisa mitzvah and the kiyuma mitzvah are separate from each other. What would the bracha be recited on? Is the bracha recited on the maisa mitzvah? Or is the bracha recited on the kiyuma mitzvah? So Rav Salvechik suggested that you'll always find the bracha is recited on the maisa mitzvah. Kala mitzvos kulan mevarchan aleyan over la'asiyasan. All mitzvos we make a bracha before, asiyasan. Not over le kiyuman, not before we're mekayim the mitzvah, over la'asiyasan, before we do the mitzvah. Being in sukkah is a kiyuma mitzvah. sitting yourself down to a meal is a maisa mitzvah. You're going to say the bracha not on the kiyum mitzvah of being in the sukkah, but on the maisa mitzvah of sitting yourself down to a meal. And therefore, the Rambam says, before you sit yourself down to the meal, say the bracha while you're still standing. Not because you're not being mekayim the mitzvah yet. You are. As soon as you cross over that threshold into the sukkah, you're being mekayim the mitzvah. But you haven't done a maisa mitzvah yet. And with this, Rav Shechter explains another fascinating Rambam. There is a Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim, where the Tanaim debate whether charoses is a mitzvah. Charoses, I have to say there. Is that a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? So the Rambam Pirush Mishnah says, it can't be a mitzvah. It can't possibly be that we hold it's a mitzvah. Why not? Well, he says, first of all, we don't eat a kezayis of it. If it were a mitzvah, you'd have to eat a kezayis of charoses. And we never heard, with all the chumras, there's no shortage of chumras on the night of the Seder, with all the chumras, no one ever suggested to eat a kezayis of charoses. That would be a welcome chumra for most of us. Most of us, we don't have that chumra. We're told, no, you got to shake off the charoses. You don't really eat any of it. If it was a mitzvah, you'd have to eat a kezayis of it. And furthermore, says the Rambam, if it was a mitzvah to eat charoses, there should be a bracha, asher kedushar b'mitzvah v'tzivanu al achilas charoses. And there's no such bracha al achilas charoses. So it can't be a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah of charoses. Which is all well and good for the Rambam to say in the Pirush HaMishnayis, until you read the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam in source number 8, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Berek Zayin, Halach Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes, HaCharoses, mitzvah midivrei sofrim, zecher latit, shayovdin bo b'mitzrayim. Charoses is a mitzvah. Oh, good. So you expect the Rambam to say, eat a kezayis of it and say a bracha. He's allowed to change his mind. He's entitled to change his mind. He wrote the Perush HaMishnayis, thought it's not a mitzvah. And if it were a mitzvah, you'd have to say a bracha and you'd have to eat a kezayis. Now that he changed his mind and he holds it is a mitzvah, good, so tell me to eat a kezayis. Tell me to say a bracha. But you read the paragraph, he doesn't say anything about a kezayis, nothing about a bracha. There's no kezayis and there's no bracha. What's going on? So Rav Shechter pointed out, if you read the Rambam carefully, look at the rest of that Rambam in source number 8. Charoses is midivrei sofrim zecher latit shayovdin bo b'mitzrayim, to commemorate the cement that we had to work with in Mitzrayim. V'ketzad osin osay, you want to know a good recipe for charoses? Well, there's a halachic recipe. You're supposed to take tamarim, grogros, smoke, it gives you all the different ingredients that are supposed to go into the charoses. And then you mix it together, metavon osa betavon kamotit, and kamotit betavon, you put spices in there like you would mix cement. And he gives it that nice thick consistency. And then what does he close with? Umevien osa al hashulchan b'leilei Pesach, and bring it to the table on the night of Pesach. What would I have thought? Had he not told me that last line, to bring it to the table on the night of the Pesach. Make it and then leave it in the kitchen. What would be, once I remember we had a lot of company over and I saw my wife preparing the chalent and putting it into the serving bowl, and I went to the table and I noticed she just never brought out the chalent. I assume she found a problem with it afterwards. And after the whole meal was over, she went into the kitchen to get dessert and she said, oh my gosh, the chalent, the whole time I had the chalent right here. I said, yeah, I knew you had it right there. She said, well, why didn't you say anything if you knew I had it right here? I thought there was a problem. Of course you bring it to the table. That's what you do. When you prepare a food, you bring it to the table. The Rambam has to tell me. Does he tell me to bring the matzah to the table? Does he tell me? Well, he does, because you have to take it off the table several times. But it's not, it seems totally unnecessary. So Rav Shechter points out what probably happened in the Rambam's thought is the reason the Rambam originally thought that there's no mitzvah of charoses was because he assumed that if there were a mitzvah of charoses, it would be a mitzvah sachila. It would be a mitzvah to eat charoses. If there were a mitzvah sachilas charoses, you'd have to have a kezayis, and you would need a birchas mitzvah, because eating is a maisa. So you need to make a bracha whenever you do a maisa. What changed in the Rambam is not just that now he thinks charoses is a mitzvah. What changed in the Rambam is what the nature of that mitzvah would be. Charoses is not a mitzvah to eat the charoses. The mitzvah of charoses is lihios al hashulchan, that charoses should be there on the table as a reminder, a zecher letit, a zecher to the cement that we had in Mitzrayim. The mitzvah involves no maisa at all. The mitzvah is just that it be there. Well, if the mitzvah is just that it be there, so great, there's a kiyum, a mitzvah. But there is no maisa mitzvah. And if there's no maisa mitzvah, it's no wonder that the Rambam's not going to tell me to say a bracha on charoses. Because there's no maisa mitzvah. brachos are always on the Maisa. So what does this have to do with Sfiras HaOmer? We question the possibility of the Bahag, that all of Sfira is one big Kiyum HaMitzvah. How could you say it's one big Kiyum HaMitzvah? There are 49 separate brachos. Well, very simple. It's one big Kiyum HaMitzvah, but it's 49 Ma'aseh Mitzvah. A Birchas HaMitzvah is always on a Ma'aseh Mitzvah, not on a Kiyum HaMitzvah. And therefore you say Birchas HaMitzvah each and every night of Sfiras HaOmer. So the Bahag works, and this whole machloka seems to work according to the Mishnah Brura, until we look at a slightly different version of the Bahag. The way we set it up until this point is that the Bahag holds, if I don't count at night, I should count during the day with a bracha. It's still a mitzvah to count during the day. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's worthless to count during the day. And what we do is somewhere in between, because we're not sure. Because after all, counting without a bracha is hedging. We're not committing when we count without a bracha. But the Rishonim were willing to commit. The Bahag would say, count with a bracha during the day. The Rabbeinu Tam would say, don't count. You're doing nothing. But if you look in Tosfos and Maseches Megillah, in source number 2, Tosfos quotes the Bahag with one minor change. In the fourth to last line of source number 2, U'Bahag Kasav, Dehecha Din Shi Levarich Belayla, Yimni L'machar Below Bracha. That if a person forgot to count at night, the Bahag holds you should count the next day without a bracha. Was the Bahag himself unsure? Hard to imagine that the Bahag is going to make a big deal to Paskin on this, and his big psak is, I'm not sure. Why would the Bahag tell me to count during the day without a bracha? If it's a mitzvah, count with a bracha. If it's not a mitzvah, don't count at all. Rabbeinu Tam was pretty clear, don't count at all during the day. Why would the Bahag say? See, the first version we had of the Bahag was much stronger. Countering the day with a bracha, it's a full mitzvah. This version of the Bahag is much more difficult, much more challenging. So I want to share two approaches. We had the approach of the Mishnah Brura to understanding this, but the Mishnah Brura assumed, like the version of the Bahag in Maseches Menachos. I want to share two approaches that relate to the version of the Bahag as we have it in Maseches Megillah. One approach is a theme that we've developed over the last couple of weeks, so I'll try to say it more quickly. And that is the idea that Sfiras HaOmer is in fact not one mitzvah. It's in fact two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah on Beis Din, and there's a mitzvah on the rest of us. Now, we no longer have a Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim that represents all of Klal Yisrael, and that determines when Shavuos is going to be, and that counts weeks. So we just do our own personal mitzvah. And when we count, we also happen to count weeks as a zecher to the fact that that's what Beis Din used to do. But the Chizkuni points out that typically speaking, if you just read the Chumash tells us a mitzvah of v'safartam lechem and v'safartam lecha. V'safartam lechem means l'kol echad v'echad, that each and every one of us have an obligation to count Sfira. V'safartam lecha is Klal Yisrael has a communal obligation, and that communal obligation is for Beis Din to count as representatives of Klal Yisrael. That itself should not be that surprising, that there is such a thing as a communal obligation, and even that the same mitzvah could have two sides to it. It can have a personal side and a communal side. I believe we gave the example before, where you have, for example, the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. The Mishnah Megillah, Daf Chavdalit or so, the Mishnah lists off 10 different activities or mitzvahs that require a minyan, that you can't do without 10 Jews. And one of them is the Nichum Avelim that we do at a cemetery. At a cemetery, after a kvura, people line up in a shura, they line up in rows, and the Avelim walk in the middle, and everyone says, Amakom Minachim. Right? We only do that with a minyan, the Mishnah says. Well, throughout the rest of Shiva, people visit the Avel, they go to the house, and they say, Amakom Minachim, whether there's a minyan or not. I happen to have a job with that gives me some free hours in the afternoon to be Menachem Avel. At night, I usually can't. So normally, when I'm Menachem Avel, it's 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Nobody's there, because that's the quiet time. Sometimes I'm disturbing a nap, you know, but nobody's there. So do I not do the mitzvah? Of course I do the mitzvah. You still say Amakom Minachim, you still do the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. But I thought you need a minyan. Well, the answer is that Nichum Avelim is not one mitzvah, it's two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah in each and every individual to comfort a mourner, and that's the mitzvah we do when we go pay a Shiva call. And then there's a mitzvah on the community to comfort the mourner. So mitzvah on the community, is it my mitzvah, is it your mitzvah? No, it's the mitzvah of the community. the community is represented by a minyan. Without a minyan, it's not a community, it's just a bunch of people. You have a similar example with the mitzvah of tzedakah. I have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Each and every individual has a mitzvah to give tzedakah. But the Rambam writes, we not only have that mitzvah, there's a mitzvah for a community to set up a kupa shel tzedakah, to set up a tamchoy, to set up a soup kitchen, to set up some sort of communal tzedakah fund. Well, whose obligation is that? Is that the rabbi's obligation? Is that the president's obligation? Whose obligation is that? The answer is, it's everybody's obligation. It's the community's obligation. It's not any individual's obligation. We have this concept of a tzibur being viewed as a unit in Klal Yisrael. It's like we were ahead of, Judaism is a little bit ahead of its time. The idea of a corporation, right? That it's not a collection of people, it's not a partnership, it's different. It's a different entity called a corporation. So Klal Yisrael is like the corporation. It's just this entity that there is no single individual that defines the entity. It's the entity of Klal Yisrael. When it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, there's a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer that the individual has to do, and there's a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer that Klal Yisrael has to do. When Klal Yisrael has to do something, we often have Sanhedrin serve in the role of the representatives to do that mitzvah. Now, there are two differences between the mitzvah that of Sfiras HaOmer as we do it and the mitzvah that Sanhedrin does. One difference is that the Sanhedrin would count weeks, would not count days, whereas we count the days of Sfira. Because when the Torah says it in the singular to the unit of Klal Yisrael, so the Torah says Shiva Shavuos. When the Torah says it in the plural to each and every one of us, it's Chamishim Yom. So that's one difference on a Daraisa level, according to the Chizkuni. The other difference is that if Sanhedrin is counting weeks, they are the ones that are actually setting up when Shavuos is going to be. I mean, when Sanhedrin does the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, they're not stam counting to do a mitzvah. They're counting because it's Beis Din's job on behalf of Klal Yisrael to determine when Yom Tovim are, and they do it for every Yantif by determining when Rosh Chodesh is. But by Sfira, there's no Rosh Chodesh makes no difference in terms of when Shavuos is going to be. It's all a function of the Sfira. So Beis Din counts the Sfira to make a Yom Tov of Shavuos. Now there is a rule, the Gemara Menachos says, any mitzvah she'ein asiyasa gemar mitzvasa, or the other way around, kol mitzvah shasiyasa gemar mitzvasa tzarech levarich. When the mitzvah is accomplished by doing the maisa and you've now done the mitzvah, you say a bracha on such a mitzvah. But when there's a goal in mind that you're trying to accomplish, and when you did the mitzvah you still haven't accomplished that goal, then there's no bracha. When we do the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, we're not making shavuos, we don't get to decide when Yom Tov Mar, we're not in charge of that. We have our own mitzvah. We put on tefillin, we wear tzitzis, we daven, we do our own personal chiyuvim. We have a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, so we do Sfiras HaOmer. Asiyasa gemar mitzvah, so as soon as I do it, I did my mitzvah, and that's it. So you would certainly say a bracha on that mitzvah. But when Beis Din is doing a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, it's with a goal in mind, to be koveya, the Yom Tov of Shavuos. They can't say a bracha on that mitzvah, says the Chizkuni, because they're not being koveya the yantif right then and there. It's only at the end of it, at the end of the whole cheshbon, that they're koveya. Very similar to the mitzvah of Beis Din counting Yovel. They count the years of Yovel. They have a mitzvah to count the years of Yovel. Why? Because that makes it a Yovel year. The Shita Sagonim is that when there's no Yovel, because we don't have the majority of Jews living in Israel like nowadays, when there's no Yovel, it's not that the 50th year comes and goes and we still count it as the 50th year is independent of the Shemitah cycle. We just don't observe the laws of Yovel. No, we ignore it. The 50th year doesn't count as year 50. It counts as year 1 again in the next Shemitah cycle. We just go in cycles of 7. We ignore the entire existence of that year. Why? Because that year doesn't exist unless Beis Din makes it exist. It's all goal-oriented. And if it's goal-oriented, Beis Din is not going to say a bracha when they do this mitzvah. Now, it could be that the mitzvah of counting during the day, according to the Bahaj, is only a reflection or an echo of the mitzvah of Beis Din. The mitzvah of counting at night that we do is our own personal mitzvah. For our own personal mitzvah, we say a bracha. But for the mitzvah of Beis Din, whatever we're doing to recall what Beis Din used to do, there's no bracha on that. Beis Din themselves didn't say a bracha. The idea is, the only reason we count at night is because of the concept of Tamimos. Tamimos is mentioned in the Chumash in connection with the individual's mitzvah, not in connection with Beis Din's mitzvah. This is the Mahalik Rav Shechter develops with much more detail in Eretz HaTzvi Simen Gimel. a lot of moving parts in this Mahalech, very complicated, very ingenious. But there's a third explanation of the Bahag, and I think there's just a certain simplicity to the third explanation that so resonates, and that you hear it and you think, why didn't I think of that? And this is it's a classic piece of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. It's printed in Harei Kedem from Rav Shurkin. He suggests the following. There is no opinion, no opinion in Rishonim, says Rav Soloveitchik, that one is mekayim the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer during the day. It's only a nighttime mitzvah. Aye, but the Bahag told me if I forgot at night, I should count during the day. Yes, he did say to count during the day, you're not mekayim anything when you count during the day. You're not mekayim a mitzvah. Well, then what am I doing it for? I'm just wasting my breath. Says Rav Soloveitchik very, very simply. If I were to get up here and I were to just list off numbers, 13, 42, 7, 19, 5, am I counting? No, I'm reading lottery numbers. That's not counting. I'm just reciting random numbers. The definition of counting is that one says numbers in a sequence, in proper sequence. If you don't say numbers in proper sequence, forget about whether you did a mitzvah of Sfira. You know what you didn't do? Sfira at all. You didn't count. Whether it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, it's just not counting if you don't say numbers in a sequence. Says Rav Soloveitchik, what the Bahag meant when he says that if you forget counting at night, count again during the day, was not that you're going to get the mitzvah when you count during the day, but that at least the next night when you have to count, you'll still be in sequence. It will still be a sfira. If I count on one night, I count five, and then the next night I miss, and then and the next night after that I count seven, well, where's the six? It's not a sfira. It's not a counting. But if during the day I said six, well, then that's a sfira. It may not be a mitzvah for that day, but it at least keeps the continuity. And with this, he explains several shitos in Rishonim. Rav Sadia Gaon is quoted in the Torah saying that if you forget any night of Sfira, you can continue to count, but not the first night. If you forget the first night, you can't. Why? What's the logic? So it could be the same logic applied differently. If I get up and I say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, so I missed 8, but you know what I'm doing, I'm counting. But if I get up and I start saying 2, well then I'm not counting. How do you start with 2 if you're counting? You got to start with 1. So maybe that's where Rav Sadia Gaon holds if you miss the first night, it's no good. Rav Haigon is quoted in the Bir Halacha that if I forget to count on, let's say, night 15 of the Omer, no problem. On night 16, I should say, last night was 15 and tonight 16. What? I'm going to say last night was 15? What does that help me tonight? It's too late. The answer is obviously it doesn't help me for the mitzvah of the night of the 15th, but it at least keeps the continuity going. The Sefer HaChinuch says, if you forget a night of Sfira, don't worry, continue counting the next night and the rest of the night, Im Kol Yisrael, together with the rest of the Jewish people. What does that phrase add, Im Kol Yisrael? Maybe what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying is that if I forget one night, as long as Klal Yisrael is still counting that night, it keeps the Hemsheichus, it keeps the continuity going. And there are significant nafkaminas la'alacha. Let's say a person feels like he's not going to make it till the end of Sfira. Doctors tell him at the beginning of Sfira, you have 2 weeks to live. Rachman al-Litzlan. So what does he do? So according to the simple understanding of the Bahag, don't count with the bracha. You're not going to make it. It's going to be 14 brachas of Atal if you make it for 2 weeks. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, no, it's not a bracha of Atal. Every night's a separate mitzvah. The only reason if you miss a night you can't continue to count is because you don't have the continuity. You don't have the sequence. Or for example, if a person forgot the last night of the Sfira, should they count during the day? They forgot the 49th night. They made it all the way, forgot the 49th night. Is there any point in counting during the day? So Pasha reading of the Bahag is, yes, there's still some mitzvah to count during the day. The Soloveitchik says, no, nobody holds his mitzvah to count during the day. The only point of counting during the day is to help you for the next night. But if there is no next night, then it doesn't help. So you might as well not count at all during the day. Three approaches to the opinion of the Baha'i. So Be'ez Hashem will continue next week with interesting shailas relating to Sfiras Omer.